Well, today we're going to be talking about God's faithfulness. You may have a seat. I love graduation. Graduated from preschool. We just had our graduation preschool here at Calvary just last week. And I think, Mom, do you remember how many people were in my class? It was like 10 of us, 12, you know, there's hardly just a few of us, right? Significant moment, though, that walk, that graduation moment. Another significant graduation moment was eighth grade graduation. Graduated from Cascade Middle School. And then I graduated from Mark Morris High School with a class of about 250 people, and in 1997. And then I graduated from Multnomah Bible College, which is now a university, in 2003, and started working here at Calvary in May 2003, which means I have just finished my 10th year of working here at Calvary. So now I'm in my graduation program at Western Seminary, and it could take me a couple of years to get through that. I'm really excited to just continue the education process. And anyways, I love graduation. I love that sense of accomplishment, that feeling that you get when you receive that diploma. Isn't that just a great feeling when you finish something that you started? To know all the hard work, all the long nights of study, all the stressful moments of writing papers and taking exams are finished. How great a feeling that is. That the next thing that you keep you going, the thing that keeps you going, though, is that even now, as I'm in my graduate work, is to know that I'm going to finish. And especially when you're in high school, you have those moments of, I don't really want to do this, but you know you need to finish. And I'm thinking about, as kids graduate, as they walk across that stage this Saturday, as they receive their diploma, as the crowds cheer, as the cowbells get rung, as their air horns go off, and that would just be a huge accomplishment again for our graduating seniors. Recently, I went down to Vancouver and was there for Nate Lowes' college graduation from WSU Vancouver. In his class, when I started, he was a seventh grader. It was my first class. Now he's graduating from college. It's a really awesome thing. And there, he was one of 900 students graduating that day. And I got a glimpse of what it's going to be like to walk in the presence of all the cloud of witnesses to one day to receive and to walk into the presence of the Lord Jesus and to know you're not going to get a diploma. But you're going to receive the crown of jewels, the crown of glory, and to be made just like him, and to be in the presence of the God-man, Jesus Christ, and that he's going to come, and he's going to redeem his people, and he's going to help us to receive our goal, and to remember, just like when we were taking exams and tests, that our goal, we need to fix our eyes on the author and the perfecter of our faith. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. 2 Corinthians is our first verse that we're going to look through. And it's going to be up here on the screen behind you. If you'd like to just open up your Bible, that's fine as well. We're also going to be in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 11. But this is what Paul says to the Corinthians. Therefore, being always of good courage and know that while we are home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. You know, I recognize the longings that I have and the frustrations, really, more so the frustrations I have with this body, how temporal it is, and the things that I wrestle with and struggle with myself. But know that I'm home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. And so today, until that day, I walk by faith and not by sight. And that is what God has called us to do. To walk by faith and not by sight. So my first question I want to pose to you is this. What does it look like to have this biblical faith? What does biblical faith look like? Hebrews chapter 11 gives us a good idea. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. The conviction of things not seen. It is the faith. Faith is the assurance. It's like the confidence that you get, the assurance, like I know without a doubt of the things I hope for, the conviction that is deeply rooted in not just your own reason, but rooted in Scripture and rooted in the past, of, in the character of God. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not yet seen. So biblical faith is not just this vague, grounded, imaginary, wishful thinking. It is rather a settled confidence. A settled confidence that something in the future, something that is not yet seen but has been promised by God, will actually come to pass because God will bring it. God will bring about it. It's not just this blind leap that I'm going to just jump off into this faith. I've talked to many folks who think that Christianity is really just a crutch, or rather they explain it as this blind faith that you don't even know what you're following. Rather, I do know what I'm following because it is found in the person of Jesus Christ and found in the Word of God. It is a blind, it's rather confident trust in the eternal God who is all-powerful, who is infinitely wise, and who is eternally trustworthy. He is a God that has revealed himself in the Word and the person of Jesus Christ, who promises have been proven true from generation to generation. So what does biblical faith look like? And if you want to take notes, this would be a good place, a good definition of biblical faith. What does biblical faith look like? So faith here now is this. It is a present confidence that God will fulfill his promises in the future based on what he has proven faithful in the past. So we have a confidence now that we will spend eternity with him based on what he has said in the past. I believe that God created, I believe now that creation will be redeemed because what has been said and done in the past. I want to share with you a story about present confidence, this biblical faith I've been trying to exercise in my life. And some of you know Elizabeth and I's story. We've been trying to start a family for nearly 2 years. And for some of us in this church, we know that it can take longer, right? And it can take longer than 2 years. But in the meantime, we are journeying with our faith in God and what he has placed in our heart, our desire of our hearts. And so the other day in May, I was at my parents' house, and we had a birthday dinner celebration. And so kind of wrapping things up, and you know when you go over to your folks' house and you kind of get ready to go and the conversation continues to linger, right? And so then you get to the porch and the conversation keeps going and they keep asking you a few things. And I appreciate this, Mom. This is a good story. And so my mom, this is her. She's asking me how things are going. And then she gets to the porch. Now I'm on the driveway. And she asks the question that she's been wanting to ask for a while. So she finally asked me this question: how are things going with you and Elizabeth? And I said, well, let me share with you kind of where we're at. So recently we just had some exams and just kind of seeing if there's anything that's causing why we haven't been able to become or get pregnant. And everything's fine. Everything looks good. And so, I was telling my mom, like, Mom, I fully believe what God has told me and Elizabeth at the exact same times about us starting a family. So I believe, and I have this confidence, Mom, in what God's going to do because of what he's told us in the past. And so I feel like I'm able to kind of navigate this time of not knowing because of what he's done in the past and what he's told me in the past. And so it's like, I just kind of sense this, like, oh, this is kind of like, as it's coming to the surface, I'm sharing this with my mom. We say our goodbyes and walk down the driveway and I get in my car. And in the back, the past couple months, as a youth pastor, I've also been wondering, God, what do you want the theme of our camp for middle school and high school to be? And I started this process back in the fall and I haven't received anything. And here it's May. I'm like, oh God, you know, I'm like, again, a process of wondering, God, when are you going to reveal these things to me? And so I walk down the driveway, I get in my car and I turn on my car on, the radio's on, K-Love's playing, and this song called Manifesto begins to play. plays from the beginning of the song, which is very rare when you start your car. You get the beginning of a song. And so the beginning of the song starts to play, and it begins to say, we believe in the one true God. We believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe. And immediately, I was flooded with vision for what camp is going to be about, because this brings me to my second point. And the second point is this. I think the object of our faith really matters. So if we have this present confidence in who God is and what he's going to do based on what he's said, I think it's really important that we have faith. The object of our faith matters. Some of us have forgotten that. And it comes across in maybe our business life or maybe our attitude. For those of us who are in a business world, we attribute all of our sales to our great tactics in marketing and our hard work and determination, and that might be part of it. But rather, if we realize that it is God who gives and takes away, we realize that ultimately all that comes from him. So how I run my business matters because of how I process how things are working out. And so sometimes when it's not about my faith is just in my abilities, it sounds like this. I got this. I can figure this out. I've taught this before. I know how to solve these problems. I can get through this. Rather, biblical faith might sound like, God, what are we doing here? How do I run my business ethically? How do I run my business above reproach? How do I teach in such a way that honors you? How do I serve my wife, my husband? God, can you give me your heart for these people that I just can't get along with? God, show me what it looks like to navigate through this unknown time of my life. It's this processing through that we realize that as we walk out our faith in God, I want to share with you a couple of verses that really resonate with my heart and with this subject matter. Psalms chapter 37, and most of these are found in Psalms. Psalms 37, 3-5 says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourselves in who? In the Lord. And he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to who? To the Lord. And trust also in him, and he will do it. He will bring forth righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Psalm 40. How blessed is the man who has made the Lord his trust and who has not turned to the proud nor to those who lapse in falsehood. And this is really a great warning to us who have placed our faith and trust in the world and the systems of the world and the people rather than God himself. Psalm 92, thinking about when times get really hard in our life. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Psalm 118, it is better to take refuge in your strength. It's better to take refuge in your resources. No, it's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. Proverbs chapter 3, this is one you and I know by heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Sometimes we try to figure things ourselves out, and we wonder why things aren't going the way. And life gets messy, so I don't have all the answers. But I just know that Scripture brings us back to trusting in him rather than our own abilities. And then Isaiah 26, trust in the Lord forever, for in God the Lord we have an everlasting rock. So whether you're just a little peewee or you're graduating from high school or seniors or you're advanced in years or whatever the case might be, God is eternal. So whether I'm just starting out or I'm finishing strong, that we have a God that we can live or believe in. So what is the object of your faith? Like, where are you at right now? What are you placing your trust in? Where do you go to get strength, guidance, wisdom, discernment? Where do you go? Are you turning to what you've known in the past, your own abilities? Are you turning to people? You're turning to the world. You're turning to your resources and looking at your bank account, trying to figure out how this is supposed to work out. Or are you turning to God to lead and guide you through the unknown charted waters? So in conclusion, I just have to say this. As we look at biblical faith, this confidence I have now in what God's going to do in the future based on the past and what he's done in the past, I think it's super important for you and I to do this as we walk out our faith, that we identify and that we share the object of our faith. So Deuteronomy chapter 6, we are aware of what that says. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And parents and the community, like, teach these things to the generation that is following us. So, if we don't identify what God is doing in our life, it is almost nearly impossible to share what God is doing in your life. And this past Wednesday night, one of the things I did with youth group is we simply took 20 minutes and I had them write what God is doing in their life. Because I want to develop a internalized faith, not just an externalized faith, something that you do, rather something that is a part of their mind and of their heart. So we just had them write what God is doing in their life. What's hard, what's been low, what's the highlights, what's the lowlights, what is God teaching you? And it's a practice I think most of us need to continue to do if we've done it in the past or pick up or maybe start. Because when I sit down eventually with my family, I would love to be able to say, hey, this is what's happening today. This is what God's doing in my life. Today I had this conversation with somebody and that was really hard. And I just need to ask God for forgiveness. Or, I know that maybe some of us here in this room have recently know somebody who has lost a job or been in that position. And so when you've been in those really tough positions, can you please just identify those and then share that with your family? Because your kids and grandkids, your nieces and nephews are trying to figure out what it looks like to live by faith. And so they need mentors and spiritual mentors and grandparents and parents to say, this is what I'm learning. I haven't figured it out, but I believe that God's going to do something. I don't know when, but I believe he's going to. And so that is a model that God has given us to continue to pass on to the next generation. And so I just ask you to identify the object of your faith and what he's doing in your life, and then to share those things. So today, if you're going to be with your family, what a great conversation piece. What a great way just to kind of say, hey, this is what's happening. What a great way to maybe once a week at your dinner table or somewhere to say, this is what God taught me this week. And parents, grandparents, you start the conversation. Don't ask or expect your 13-year-old kid to start the conversation because they're looking to you, us for those things. And so with that, I just encourage each one of us, as we long for the goal of being in the presence of Jesus, to not lose sight, but to walk by faith. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much that your word has stood the test, that Jesus Christ has paid the price, so that I might live and to experience you today. And as I navigate through life's choices, give me and help me and increase my faith in you as I live out my life, as I love you, as I enjoy you, as I celebrate what you're doing. Give us the grace we need. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen.